Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock, I know that's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where do I hide till the storms have all passed over? Where do I run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Thank you, fellas. Great song tonight. Thank you. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. As we are off mic on here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we are often on these Lord's Supper evenings, and we'll take a moment here to look at some verses together, one particular statement in the passage we will focus on tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and if I forget towards the end when we get ready to serve, all the folks in the balcony need to find a seat downstairs so we can serve you tonight at the Lord's Supper. Let's stand together, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and please follow along. I'm going to read beginning with verse 23. I know you probably figured that, right? Where Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now watch this. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this ordinance. Thank you for the privilege to celebrate it tonight. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will enter into it in the spirit of truth. And God, that you'll help us to enjoy being drawn back to Calvary through the time we spend around your table. And then to look forward to the fact that you are coming for us one of these days. And so tonight, we're grateful. And we ask you to lead us through this as only you can, and speak to us as only you can. And our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us. And we ask it all in Christ's name for his sake. And amen. Thank you and be seated. I love the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. I love it. I've tried to put a strong emphasis on it through the years here as we observe it four times, once in a while, five times in a calendar year. Personally, it is something that I value to help me stay close to the cross of Calvary. Now, Paul goes over the importance of this ordinance to the church at Corinth. It's interesting to me. I think the only letter where Paul ever makes any reference to the Lord's Supper, maybe a passing reference in other letters, but the one he really, I guess he deals with it in detail, is in the letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth. And you remember that Corinth was the most carnal and confused and cold church of all the ones that Paul wrote letters to, and they had made a debacle out of the Lord's Supper. And I'm not going to take the time to go into all that tonight. We've talked about that before. It is obvious that one of the things they needed was to get back to Calvary in their hearts. And folks, God never intended us for us, after we get saved, to drift far from Calvary, far from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what the songwriter wrote. I believe we sang it this morning. I believe I used it at the beginning of this year in my message on the Lord's Supper, where the songwriter said, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream that flows from Calvary's mountain." By the way, folks, it's not only a salvation heal, a healing of salvation that comes from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the healing of restoration for backslidden hearts. And folks that get away from God, and hearts can be restored. I was telling Brother Greg, I'm just going to say this because it blesses me, but the former pastor of this church, Tim Starr, is just back in church doing just tremendous, and out in Clinton, Iowa. And, you know, I am so thrilled to hear that. So thrilled to hear that. They're at John Booth's church and just living for the Lord again. Living for the Lord. And came to football camp last year and just got his heart right. And, man, it's exciting to me to hear that. It really is. I thrill at that. And I was thrilled to talk to Brother Greg that earlier tonight. Yeah, and that flow, that fountain that flows from Calvary is not just good for salvation. It's good for restoration. It's good for reclamation. That fountain works wonders. Amen. And so it's good to stay close to the cross. Now, the Bible says in verse number 26 what this ordinance shows. The Bible says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup." And by the way, there's the verse that kind of just makes it clear that there's no command in Scripture how often you observe the Lord's Supper. Just as often as you do it. You want to do it once a month? That's fine. You want to do it once a quarter? That's fine. You want to do it once a year? Whatever you decide, church. That's what you do here at Faith Baptist. We do it four times a year, once in a while, five. "For as often," verse 26, "as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." This ordinance shows something very specific about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. It shows forth His death. Shows forth His death. Now, that's seen in the elements that we will serve tonight. We will serve the bread. The bread that you hold in your hand, if you've been saved, you're right with God and in good fellowship with the Lord. The bread you take out of the plate and hold in your hand is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. The body that bore our sins to the tree. The body that was beaten, the body that was ravaged, if you will, to pay for our sin debt. That little piece of bread, when you put it in your mouth, it does not become the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is symbolic of the fact that Jesus Christ, God the Son, came in a human body. And we better be thankful that He did. He came as one of us. There is no salvation for the angelic creation. Those angels that rebelled with the devil and fell from their place in heaven, there's no redemption for them. They're lost. Because there's never been a sacrifice for their sin. Because Jesus Christ didn't come in the form of an angel. He came in the form of a human. He came in a human body. He took our sin upon His own human body to the cross. And the little piece of bread that we pass tonight and we'll eat together is just symbolic of the fact that we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins in His own body to the cross of Calvary. And then we'll pass the little cup of juice. It's not intoxicating wine. Wine is rotten juice. That's what it is. And what this pictures, what this juice pictures, is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood was spotless blood. That blood was pure blood. You say, Pastor, we've heard this. Yeah, but folks, you've got to understand that you're not the only person sitting in the room tonight. There are new people at Faith Baptist. That's good. Okay, there are folks that haven't heard this. It needs to be repeated over and over again. That juice is symbolic of the pure, spotless, beautiful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was without sin. Without sin. It does not become the blood of Jesus when you swallow it. It is symbolic. This does not save us. This does not wash our sins away. It is a picture of what washed our sins away. It is a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, when you observe the Lord's Supper, when you pass the bread, and when you pass the juice, you do show forth the Lord's death. And look at it. We're going to pass the bread and the blood separate from each other. You know, people, when flesh and blood, the flesh and blood of a person are together, that most often means there's life. When they are separated, when blood is separated from the body, there is death. You know, we speak of blood being spilt on the battlefield. That means that the blood has been separated from the body. And what happens when blood is separated from the body is death comes, because the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. You got to cure George Washington's disease by draining his infected blood? No, he died. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. In our blood system, God created us in such a way physically that creates all those new blood cells. And boy, I'm telling you, if you have healthy blood, you can be thankful. Amen. Thankful. So many battling leukemia. My father-in-law has chronic leukemia. It won't kill him. It will after about 15 or 20 years, but he'll probably, you know, go to heaven of old age before that happens. But if you got healthy blood, that's something to be thankful for, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. Blood separates from the body, you've got death. This is what this ordinance is talking about. It's what this ordinance is showing. It's what it's reminding us of. This ordinance shows the death of Jesus Christ. But there's something else this ordinance shows. The end of verse number 6 says, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. There is also here a recognition of the fact that one of these days our Savior, who was the supreme sacrifice for our sins, is coming back. And I guess I'm at the age, you know, man, when you're in your early 20s and looking at marriage, you're thinking, Lord, just wait a little while. Just wait a little while. But I'm at the age, folks, if I knew the Lord Jesus would come in the morning, I would be so thrilled about that. I don't know about you, but this world is not my home. My wife and I had prayer for the Runyon family last night, and in the prayer that I had to the Lord, I talked about how I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I imagine Brother Runyon's a very happy man tonight. Very happy man. In that wonderful place called heaven. One of these days, our Lord is going to come. Now, the Bible is telling us here that there is a perpetuity to this ordinance. This perpetuity doesn't end until Jesus comes. Perpetuity means it's ongoing, endless duration. And this ordinance will not end until Jesus comes. Why will it end when Jesus comes? Because this is a picture. And when He comes, we won't need the picture. The person will be with us. We'll be with the person. But until we see Him, this is a wonderful and vivid and necessary picture of the fact that the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and took our sins in His own body to that tree and shed His blood to pay the sin debt that each one of us owed. And thank God for that. We rejoice in that. And God, keep our hearts close to Calvary and close to the death of Christ. But also remind us through this that He's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. Now, let me talk just a little bit about this fact, what this shows. Number one, it shows that His death will be effective till He comes. Now, stay with me just a minute. His death will be effective till He comes. What does it mean? Folks, look, I'm talking about be effective. I'm talking about productive. I'm talking about powerful. I'm talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ will be powerful to produce results until He comes. Look, this ordinance does not picture something that is old and worn out. You think, well, this is antiquated. This is old-fashioned, passing bread and juice. It may, the practice of it may be old-fashioned, but the power of it is just as real as it's ever been. It hasn't lost a lick of it. Not a little bit of it at all. It is the same. It has the same. The death of Christ, what this pictures, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ has as much power as it has ever had. It's as powerful as it has ever been. And it will be till He come. We sang that song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." The third stanza says, "Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood, listen, shall never lose its power." Never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. People, be saved to sin no more. What's He talking about? He's talking about glorification. He's talking about going to heaven. That means the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be powerful enough to produce results until the end. Until the end. Every time we sit and observe this ordinance, it is a reminder that there is power, power, oh, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, oh, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And any person, anywhere, who comes to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, can still have their sins forgiven. Still have their sins atoned for. No, this does not point back to something that has lost its power, that is antiquated, that is ineffective, that is no longer productive. This points back to something that will maintain its power until Jesus comes. Now, let me meddle a little bit. We rejoice in that, right? Now, let me meddle a little bit. Church, we cannot make excuses for lack of fruitfulness. You know, well, our area is hard. The area may be hard, the gospel still works. The gospel still works. We have a responsibility. That's one of the reasons why we're doing another special Sunday on April 22nd is we have a command. We have a command. We have a command to get the gospel message out. And there's no end to that command. It's you just keep doing, you know, post and orders remain the same. They're unchanging. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Churches everywhere are adopting the mentality that, you know what, it's not like it used to be. And, you know, it's hard and people aren't interested. Well, that may be true. Okay, all of that may be true. But the gospel still has its power. You find the right person in the right frame of heart and introduce them to the gospel and see what happens. People still get saved. And life still changed. Well, you know what? We saw somebody get saved. We haven't seen their life change a lick. I know, folks, but we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The gospel's still good. It's not God's fault. No. Every time we observe this ordinance, we do show forth the Lord's death till He come. We recognize the fact that His death will be effective till He come. The message of His death, the foolishness of the preaching of the cross will cause people to believe. It's a powerful message. We look, you know what? Maybe we need to bone up ourselves. Maybe it's us. Maybe we need to get more serious about it. Maybe we need to pray harder. Miss a meal occasionally every now and again. And fast. And look, but the gospel's power has not diminished. Has not diminished. Has not diminished. No. Are men's hearts harder? Probably. Is the world darker? Probably. But the gospel wasn't made just for the time period of the 70s. The gospel was made to be powerful till He comes. When we observe the Lord's Supper, it shows that His death will be effective till He comes. Number two, there's something else that it shows. It shows that there will always be a remnant to observe the Lord's Supper till He comes. You see, folks, God always has His remnant. If the Lord's Supper is to be observed till He comes, then by deduction, logical deduction, there will always be a saved, blood-washed group somewhere to observe it. I remember when we went to Prince Edward Island with Joyce's brother and his wife and Joyce's sister and her husband, Brad and Heidi, Stephen, Sally, me and Joyce, and John and Nellie. We went there for a special celebration for one of their anniversaries. I forget which one. We went to Prince Edward Island. And, Anne of Green Gables, I've never seen anything so fake draw so much attention. It's all make-believe, but boy, you would never guess it by going there. But I never forget, we went to a church there on the island Sunday. I think it was in the little area called Summerside. And we pulled in for the church service. There was one car in the parking lot. One car. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. What's this going to be like? But you know what? We were there a little bit early, and by 11 a.m., that little white clapboard building on Prince Edward Island Baptist Church was almost full, and they were singing the songs of God, and they were worshiping God together, and the pastor announced that they were going to baptize a convert. There's always a remnant. Always a remnant. There will always be a group of saved, blood-washed people somewhere. You know, there always has been a remnant. In the Dark Ages, during the Catholic Inquisitions, there were groups meeting in the catacombs of Rome. You know the stories. You've read it. They were meeting in the mountains of Bohemia. They were meeting in the wild glens of Scotland. And sometimes they met breaking the bread and pouring out the juice at the risk of their own lives. But they met. There was a remnant of blood-washed, born-again people. I remember when Billy Graham went to Russia, and over there he talked about, there's no religious persecution, there's religious freedom over here. Boy, did that stir up people. Stirred up some of the government officials. I think it was the Elder Bush who disagreed with him publicly. Said, that's not true. At the same time that Billy Graham was in Russia talking about the fact that there's no religious persecution over here, there was a pastor from South Sheridan Baptist Church in Denver, Colorado, by the name of Ed Nelson. He met in the forest with groups of 200 and 300 and 400 believers under trees where they broke bread and shared juice, observing the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord's death at the risk of their own lives. We're pretty blessed as American Christians. We talk pretty glibly about our trials and our troubles. That's never hung over our head, folks. We've never come here at the risk of our own life. Ever. And it's interesting to me that when these Christians who live in these persecuted countries do get together, when they assemble in basements, in trees, under trees, in forest, when they assemble in places where they can't, like the Chinese people who meet in those houses and get in the bathroom and run the water so that they can sing. It's amazing to me how many times they observe the Lord's table when they get together. What are they doing? They're remembering the Lord's death. Remembering the Lord's death. There will always be a remnant. Hell itself cannot extinguish that remnant altogether. There will be a remnant. Number three, it shows us that the Christian's heart will always need this ordinance. We'll need this ordinance till He come. We will always need this forget-me-not ordinance. I've said it before, you've heard me if you've been here over the years, my wife and I, we're just not picture people. If you look at my phone, there may be 20 pictures on my phone. Some of you have 1,000 times that many pictures on your phone. You're picture people. We just never have been. But why do you take a picture? Yeah. To create a what? Memory. And you take those pictures and sometimes you send them over to Walgreens or other places. You get them blown up a little bit. And you put them in frames on your hallways and around your kitchen and other places in your house. Maybe your office where you men work. And you put the, and sometimes they're a collage of pictures, you know. And they're all arranged and they're of kids and grandkids and extended family members. And they're of vacations and they're of places where you went and anniversaries and birthday parties. And you know, your kids with the grandparents and then, you know, your kid with one of the aunts and the other kid with one of the uncles and the brother-in-laws. And there's usually smiling faces and there's usually fun and there's usually happiness. And once in a while you walk down that hallway, you walk around the room and you take a moment to look at those pictures. And what happens to your heart? It's warmed. It's warmed. I think it was Abby. After my brother died, went to heaven at the age of 49. Was it you, Abby, you made that calendar for me for Christmas or birthday? Or was that Leah? You think, what? It was Leah. It was Leah. Okay. I had one good daughter. Amen. Leah's her name. So she made this. Was it Leah, Joyce? Do you remember? Okay. She gives me this calendar, and on every, you know, every month when you turn the page, there's a picture of my brother Tom with me or with me and Tim or me and Tim and Dad. Picture of us at your wedding, your and Jess's wedding. Tom didn't have a hair on his head from the chemo. And I don't know what drew my attention to it the other day in the office, but I sat down, I took that calendar for just a few minutes, and I flipped through all those pictures, and I just relived all those occasions. My heart just warmed. My heart was happy. Yes, it saddened the fact that he's not here anymore, but it was happy because I remembered those occasions. And you know, I don't mean spooky, I don't mean weird, but in a sense it made me feel close to him to see those pictures. You know, I see those pictures of those little girls that are 10,000 miles away over in Madagascar, and it brings me close to them. And folks, what God has done for us here tonight is given us a picture. And when we pass this bread and we pass this juice, that picture should make our heart happy. Should make your heart happy. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. That's what this picture's tonight. And in a sense, it should draw us back to Calvary. Draw us back to the cross. Draw us back to the Lord Jesus hanging on a cruel tree with His body ravaged. And I'm not just joking when I say that. I'm not just filling hot air. You're talking about a body that was so shredded by all the torture and punishment that Isaiah said you couldn't even tell it was a man. A bloody mass. And this brings us back to that scene, that cross. It draws our heart close there. It warms my heart as I remember. It makes me feel close to one who's far away. And you know what? Can I say this, folks? Because of human nature, without pictures, if I didn't have pictures of my brother, if I didn't have pictures of even those four little grandgirls over in Madagascar, if I didn't have pictures by human nature, I would slip away. But those pictures keep me close. And that's what God has done here. He's given us a picture of the Lord's death. And He said, you do this And as you do it, you do show forth the Lord's death till He comes. But that means we'll stay close to Calvary, close to Him, till He comes. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this ordinance and what it means to us as Your people. And Lord, may it not just be ritual or ceremonial tonight. May this be a time for us to enter into the spirit of this ordinance. And may we allow it to draw us back to Calvary, to draw us close to the Lord Jesus, to draw us close and remember the day that we got saved. Happy day, when Jesus washed our sins away. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts tonight. If there's someone here who's not saved, would You please show them tonight how badly they need Jesus Christ? Would You help them to trust Christ? Lord, would You help maybe a heart that's far, far away tonight to be restored? The healing power of that fountain that flows with blood is not just for salvation, Lord, but for restoration as well. May we be drawn near tonight to the cross of Calvary and to the Savior who hung on that cross. And may our hearts be made happy by what this means for us. It's what He did for us, and it's what He will do for us when He comes for us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I hope your heart is prepared for this ordinance tonight. We always announce it on Sunday morning so that hopefully you have a minute to think about it in the afternoon and prepare your heart for it. And if you need a moment at the altar, now is a beautiful time to do that. And if you're not saved, now is a beautiful time to get saved. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven when we have the invitation, all you have to do is slip out and Brother Mick is standing right here in the front. You just come to Brother Mick and say, "Brother Mick, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know if I died that I'd go to heaven." And he'll help you find somebody to talk to you about it. Let's let the Lord's Supper draw us close tonight. Remind us. Make our hearts happy. Let's stand together, please, while the ladies are playing a song of invitation. You'll come if the Lord puts it on your heart tonight. Not sure that you're saved, what a great time to trust Christ as your personal Savior, realizing what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. If you are saved, what a great time to draw close. As some finish praying, I'm going to ask the men who are going to serve tonight to come take their places in the front. Ask your folks in the balcony to step up. Let me take just a moment to explain I see some visiting families here. Our position here at the church is this is the table of the Lord. And if you are a member of a sister Baptist church of like faith and practice and a member in good standing, we would invite you to participate with us tonight in this ordinance. And what we do here is very simple. We will ask the men in just a moment to pass the bread, which pictures the body of Christ. And as the plate goes by, if you're saved and in good fellowship with Christ, you take a piece of that bread and let your mind think for a few minutes about what Christ did so that your sins could be forgiven. Once everybody is served, we'll have somebody thank the Lord for coming, and then we'll have the bread together and repeat the process with the juice. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which we read just a moment ago. He took the bread in the same night in which he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. So the bread represents the body. And we'll ask the men to pass the bread tonight so that we can remember the Lord's body. Take your songbook as they finish passing the bread tonight. Look at page 334. Page 334, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Let's sing at Calvary tonight. Years I spent, let's sing it together. 334, if you need the words, we're singing. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No, God, it was for me. He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was melted pride to me. There my burden sold for liberty at Calvary. Let's sing the second together. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Oh, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Sing it now, mercy there was great. Amen, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. And that last stanza talks about the love that drew it all. Here we go. Oh, the love that drew salvation. Thank you. I sometimes think maybe we should add a couple of ushers and make it go a little bit faster serving people. But I think, why? We do this four times a year. Why be in a hurry now? Why be in a hurry? If you're sitting tonight thinking about the Cubs or the White Sox or something else that you got to do tomorrow, you're missing the whole spirit of the thing. Your mind ought to be recalling, you thought you weren't there, but when you die, but recalling the day that you trusted Christ as your Savior and realizing that what made that possible is what this represents right here. What made that possible is the fact that the Lord Jesus left heaven to come here to take my sin and your sin to that cross and die for it. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Amen. I'm going to ask Brian Maxwell, if he would, to stand and thank the Lord Jesus for coming to the cross and taking our sins in his own body to the tree. Yes. Amen. The Bible says, after the same manner also he took the cup. So the night that he was betrayed, after he passed the bread, he passed the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Something's going to change here in just a few hours. No longer will the reference point of salvation be the blood of those bulls and goats that was only effective for 1 year. The reference point of salvation would be the Lamb of God's blood that was shed on Calvary. That's a new reference point. And so we will pass the juice tonight, which represents the pure, spotless, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful old song. They're playing 247. If you need the words, we're going to lift our voices tonight in song. and rejoice in the salvation that Jesus made possible through His blood. 247, we're singing, saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood. Yes, we're singing now. Saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved. Amen. Yes, I'm saved. Blood of the crucified one. Number three, saved by the blood, the crucified one. The Father, He spake. Now pay attention to these words. Great price. Absolutely. Saved by the blood. Spirit the great. Thank God. Blood of the crucified one. Saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Saved. Saved by the blood, crucified one. All hail to the Father. It was in His heart from before the foundation of the world. All hail to the Son who came and went to the cross, carried it out. And all hail to the Spirit that drove home the need for it in my heart and yours. My, my, my. Wonderful, wonderful salvation. Brother Larry, would you stand? Thank the Lord Jesus for coming and shedding His blood so that we could be saved, sir. Amen. Pictures draw us close, make our hearts happy. And we had a beautiful picture tonight of what the Lord did this so that we could be saved. We're going to gather the cups. We're going to stand. We're going to sing the first stanza of the old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. If you need the words, what page are we in? It'll take a moment to find it. In this book especially, it takes a little while. The old rugged cross. Let me see here. Here it is, 340. As the men gather the cups, let's sing 340 tonight. Give us the introduction, ladies. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Let's sing it from our hearts tonight together. Here we go. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners. Thank God. So I'll cherish rugged cross till my my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. God bless you. Love you. Thank you for being here tonight. You're dismissed. Shake hands with somebody on your way out. Amen.